the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbread with myself, Eric Wiltshire, Lee Banks, Mark Gander and Rachel Brunsdon. But we've got a special thing to do first.
We have.
In the Brunsdon abode, in Les Brunsdon, it's Rob's birthday!
Happy
so, birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy
birthday, dear Robbie.
41. Happy birthday
to you. And that, Rob, comes from your very own Brunny girl, Rachel.
She sang all the voices, and then we simply dubbed them all on top of each other.
Absolutely, Mark.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. He will love that.
Not. Billboard has included the YouTube data into the new Hot 100. Very, very, very famous Billboard Hot 100 in the US is now taking streaming data as part of the methodology used to build up the charts.
That makes sense.
Yes, which it does. It goes alongside things like downloads, physical playing, radio airplay, audio streaming, and everything else, so they're combining it all together. And I bet you a pound to a penny, some old duffer's going to whinge about it.
Well, I did whinge about it, didn't I? I actually thought it was a bit of a bad thing. But
you're
thinking
old.
About it, I think it actually is a good thing. It is actually going right back to the roots of music and how things were presented to the world in the days before it was a commercial enterprise.
In the days before rock and roll.
Days before rock and roll. The days where you used to play your music on a dinosaur's testicle.
What?
I have no idea where that came from at all. I was just thinking of a well-known radio song, The Days Before Rock and Roll. By a famous Irishman. Never mind. We move along, because that's enough of that. Ho, 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 ho.
Mark, very, very funny.
Mark drives... beg your pardon, Mark. Lee drives a Chrysler.
Lee drives a Chrysler.
Bentley.
It's a Chrysler.
And it's got a dent in it.
And not only has it got a dent in it...
And it's cost me £280 again for another tyre.
And it's going to be a big dent in Lee's pocket, filling it up with petrol soon.
It won't be, because it takes diesel.
Well, that's going to go up as well, isn't it?
Exactly. Diesel having risen 4.0...
Oh, it won't, will it, Mark? Really?
Yes, I think so. And I think it's a jolly good job as well. It's going to stop the poor people, the working-class people, moving around the rest of the country, keeping their place, keeping working. That's what I say.
Where did that come from this week? He's on tablets this week, isn't he?
He's cough syrup.
Yeah, there might not be.
I don't like people who are too mobile at that kind of level of society. Keep them there. Petrol's too expensive. It's good.
Yes.
Actually,
there's not a lot of comment, but when he comes out of Paris, it's quite profound.
these figures they're talking about here.
Yes,
that's exactly what we're paying already.
No.
In the Midlands, we are.
Is it?
You know what really angers me?
What?
I've not shared this with you, actually. I should
go on, share it now.
My young lady and myself are off to America.
No.
In a couple of months, yes. And we're doing this driving thing. We're going to drive down Highway 61 and things like that.
Oh.
We're actually driving.
66 is the right one.
We're actually doing the Highway 61 Bob Dylan.
Because he's talking about Bob Dylan 61.
Oh.
Thank you, Mark. Oh. And do you realise that in America that petrol is actually less than £1.50 a gallon still?
Really?
So how can Britain possibly defend shoving up the price of petrol and diesel again?
Maybe because there's no Dallas in England.
Yeah. I don't know.
But there is North Sea oil, you know. We still have that. North Sea oil has just vanished off the face of the earth as far as Britain is concerned. But you know what? It is still working. And you know what we do with it? We don't give it to us. We sell it off to other people. Then we go and buy it from somebody else. Ludicrous.
Well, I'm not sure about the conversion, but we pay £1.54 a litre.
What's is that? Australian
cents.
What's that in
Australian
real
cents, yeah.
Australian dollars.
In pounds.
Well, is that about? Is it about two? Is it $2 to a dollar?
Yeah, it's about half and half, I think. Yeah. So, or maybe 60-40.
Yeah.
No. So, Mark, so, calculus. So, Mark, calculus.
Price there, isn't it?
It's not very much.
we think it's much, but clearly it's not. So we
well, everybody does. Even the American thinks they're playing a lot of money. When I was in Irkutsk in Siberia a few years ago, the petrol was, I mean, unbelievably cheap. I mean, it was something like about 20p. It was something like sort of 20p a litre at the petrol station. If you drove along the motorway a little bit, you'd come across some lay-bys, and there'd be petrol tankers there, and they'd flag you down, and you could buy it at 15p a litre straight up the back, you know.
Yes, but buying fruit off the side of the road.
Yeah.
Well, we actually, you know, we do have a similar thing in Britain. It's a black market in diesel.
Diesel especially,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and you can buy diesel very, very cheaply, but the penalties against you. If you're caught doing it, and they do stop you on the roads and dip your tank.
Mm.
So, and it is absolutely shameful when they are screwing us into the ground. Luckily, my Bentley does 35 to 40 miles
Chrysler.
To the gallon.
But, we have a system like that in Australia. You just get a hose in the middle of the night and go around to people's tanks and siphon it out.
Yeah, that's right. That's it, yeah. Well,
go around to that Bentley, drill a hole in the bottom.
That's what they do here, Mark.
Yeah.
Put a cork in it.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You know, I mean, running on red diesel, I mean, it's just the same as sort of, you know, ripping off the tax and being named and shamed, isn't it, really?
Well, no, it's
and,
like...
I mean, I suppose that if you rip off enough diesel from somebody's car, then you could enter into an anonymity deal. nobody will know that you've done it.
Yeah, but it gets crazy because...
And that's corrupt.
There was people in the Midlands, which is probably furnished by Lee's... amazing input of curry, whereby the oil...
Excuse me.
whereby the oils that were used were filtered, put into diesel cars and used, and as you went behind, you could smell curry coming out the exhaust pipe. Genuinely.
That is true. And I'll tell
you
what,
I
had a mate who did it. He actually, 15 years ago, carried out an experiment... and was running his diesel car on oil taken from chip shops and restaurants
in this very area.
They do that here. Yeah,
exactly.
It smelled
awful.
The government stopped him.
But then you have to go and pay your duty on it. Otherwise, you get into trouble anyway.
Yeah, that's why it smells
just
of curry.
Corrupt.
Sorry?
That's why it smells of curry.
Yeah, I know it is. Anyway, we move along. And I gloat, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't you gloat on this.
I'm gloating. I have
a very serious point to make on this.
I have my satirical face on. my gloating face.
Radio?
Yeah, it works well on radio. I did topless radio as well once, Rach. And you know, I'm sitting here tranquil and calm as I read out, Apple computers hacked. The computer that wanders around with its enthusiasts going, they can't hack us like you old Windows people. Oh, really?
Yes, it can be.
It has, and it has been done. And not only that, Apple said its computers were attacked by hackers. Apple's own computers. Maybe they got Windows. Maybe they got Windows ones in their office.
Well,
That's what it is.
Loads of people bragging to me in the past about the fact that they've got Apple computers and nothing can happen to them. And I've just got to say, I'm really pleased, just the same as you.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't understand the logic of all... Oh, I never have done.
Yeah, not a man on the virus.
Of course it is. Anyway, Apple had identified malware which infected a limited number of Mac systems, it says, through a vulnerability in the Java plugin for browsers. Oh dear, let's blame somebody else.
Apple got a worm in it.
Got it, indeed. And that, of course, comes along the same week as we heard with Twitter being attacked. And, of course, Facebook had a cyber attack, which is now another bun fight because China and the USA are now shouting at each other again.
What a change.
Which reminds me, hot breaking news.
Ooh.
From this morning.
What, you going to let me do my poem?
No.
I thought you'd done it.
Yeah, yes. It just, nobody...
You faded me out four times. I'm not stupid.
Just nobody will ever hear it. Interesting research this morning just come out from the US that games for mobile phones are outselling
this is very interesting.
Outselling games console games now.
Mm. Yeah, so these people that makes sense.
Well, you're an Xbox person, aren't you?
Yes. Well, yes, and I have one, but yeah. It gathers dust. It's probably been used maybe twice. I tend to, if I'm on the go and I'm bored and I'm in the car, not when I'm driving, Natch, because that would be dangerous.
True.
If I'm a passenger, I'll have a, you know, a bit of a Scrabble or something on yes. my iPad or on my iPhone or yeah. on my other inferior Apple product.
Yes, indeed. Do your kids have console games, Mark?
They've got phones. They haven't got console games. They've got phones and then they've got their ordinary PCs, Windows PCs.
Right, so do they play games on the phones?
Yeah, they do a little bit, yeah. Not awfully, because the phones aren't actually bang up to date, so they're a bit fed up, and they're a bit fed up with me for not having replaced them with iPhone 5s.
Oh, you rotter!
I am a
what
rotter.
What a dad!
But there we are. But, you know, I mean, I'm afraid that most of the stuff I ever got from them is from eBay, so the iPhone 5 time will come.
With
then
respect,
there'll be the iPhone 6, so I'll still get it.
Spells the death of Xboxes and things like that.
No, but I can see it.
No.
No, I don't think it'll kill them. It's a bit
like, it'll destroy the market for a moment.
Different gaming experience. It's a very different gaming experience to what you can experience on your phone. And the diehard gamers, they will live on. It's like Dungeons & Dragons. That stuff will never go away.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a bit like damage the marketplace, isn't it?
No, Mark, sorry, Lee. It's a bit like when everybody said the internet will kill newspapers, which is a load of old rubbish.
Yeah.
But people said it. And they will jump up and down, the headlines will read something like that initially. But in truth, yes, it will damage the market because more and more people, you know, don't lug stuff around, don't sit in front of the telly the same way as they used to. And people will download more phone games and phone apps because you can just sit on the train and use them. You can't lug your Xbox 360 there, can you?
No, that's right.
You know, it opens up the whole new marketplace for amateur games makers as well, though, doesn't it? To actually get into the marketplace and make a bit of dosh out of it.
It does, particularly with apps, because a lot of them are free. They're beta tested, and a lot of them are free. So kids download a lot of the free ones as well. So straight away, you have to pay $80 for a game.
Well, funny you mentioned that, Lee. I think it was this. And I haven't got it in front of me, so sorry if I'm wrong, Mr. Windows. I think it was this week. So it was either last week or this week. Windows actually launched a competition whereby if you make an app for the Windows 8 store, you collect points. And the more points you get, the more prizes you can get. So it's encouraging amateurs or those that are sort of gameaholics to make apps, launch them onto the Windows 8 platform. And every time you do it, you register it, and you get points. And you can actually win holidays in Paris. Oh.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Be able to go and see Mark.
Well, that'd be lovely.
Would you like to see them, Mark?
I would love it.
What, lots of gamers around your house?
They'll have to tread carefully. That could be a new game, couldn't it?
I was waiting for
tread
that.
Tread carefully.
Yeah, avoiding all the brown spots on the board.
Doggy Doo Doo in Paris. There's a new game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, going to get Pac-Man, eat them all up.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd have to spit at the end, wouldn't he? Like that. Sorry, that was bad. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. The non-professional, let's use it that way around, the non-professional gamers are now or can enter a competition with Windows, and I believe it's global. In fact, I'm very sure it's global, whereby you can submit games to the Windows Store for each one. And there's loads and loads of prizes, like everything from a T-shirt and a pen at one end through to a 3D or widescreen telly and a holiday in Paris.
That's two things to do with modern technology that I've actually agreed with today. And I think it's a good thing.
No, it's scary.
What, you agreed with them?
Mm.
It's scary.
I know.
This is a bad program.
I'm bored with this now.
Well, let's move on to Banksy then, shall we?
Yeah. Banksy!
That'll
I know who this is.
What?
Hey?
I know who this is. I watched a documentary about this and his rival. Now, who was the guy who died?
That was on
his
rival? Right, she was on the History Channel.
Yeah. Banksy,
the
guy.
History.
There was a documentary I watched on something or other and his rival, his big rival, and he died. somehow, really? Mysteriously. Yeah.
Well, apparently...
He used to walk around with a thing over his face so nobody knew.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, there's loads of information in this program this week.
Banky is a sort of guerrilla street artist because nobody really knows who he is, and he comes along, you know, I suppose at night and does very, very astonishing works, normally speaking in form of graffiti, and a lot of them are very, very humorous, and they tend to sort of get left all over the place. And we've got one here that's been sort of painted on a wall, and I think it's sort of quite famous, and there was scaffolding put up, and when the scaffolding was taken down, a huge part of the rendering of the wall had disappeared, and they now find that this work of art, because that's what it is up for auction in the United States of America.
Well, how can they do that? That's nicking it.
Well, we don't know. I mean, there's a number of questions here, I think. I mean, the first thing is, you know, who owns the artwork? Is it Banksy, or is it the owner of the wall? If it's the owner of the wall, and the owner of the wall's decided to make a few bob, which could easily happen, decided to have it removed, and then snuck over to Miami for sale, then it wouldn't be nicking it. But it certainly raises some very, very interesting questions. But the other thing, of course, is that there are also rules about export of art. And they reckon that the estimated value of this, because it's never been sold before, this is the first time, so it's quite experimental. Right. But they reckon between 320,000 and 450,000.
Wow.
And there's a culture council, British Culture Council, I can't quite remember what it is, has all sorts of thresholds for requiring export licenses of works. And I've got a feeling that this probably needs an export license. So very interesting to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and where's the police car?
And the police car is on my phone. Sorry.
Blue key neck.
It is a personal touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I personally don't understand what the interest is.
Well, the interest is simply, actually, I've got it wrong. I was thinking of Damien Hirst, but Banksy, and so now I know what you were talking about, Rachel.
I thought somebody might.
Yeah, he's, and I was just thinking of the wrong artist. But yeah, Banksy is quite an incredible artist, like Mark says, and this guerrilla tactic. This all goes back to like this YouTube thing and this sharing of music and stuff like that. This is giving art to the people in a grand old-fashioned way of like when they used to do cave paintings and things like that. And this is giving art to the people, and that's what Banksy does. He's actually become exceedingly rich,
famous.
But the art is there. And if he goes and does it on somebody else's wall, well, if he came and painted my front door, I think I'd sell my front door and see what I could do about it. That's the freedom of art and expression. I think it's another good thing. That's three good things.
My word. Let's move on to the justice system in the UK, which has come under fire because Mr. Justice Sweeney has... got slightly upset in the way that the jury's been behaving and suggested that the juries should have IQ tests before being a member of said thingy when they are judging people.
I think that's a good thing as well. That's number four.
Too.
What, to have IQ tests? Well,
yeah.
He said it.
Yeah.
Well,
he said it.
He said it, and that somebody's actually pointed out that people who are actually invited onto jury duty in Britain could be as thick as anybody could possibly be and be making decisions on people's lives without having a thought in their head. I think I'm going to disagree with you very fundamentally here.
Go on.
So there are. Well, the first thing is that there may be lots of very thick people on juries all over the place, and the thing is that generally speaking, we don't ever get to find out about it, and that I think generally speaking is because they're too thick. Maybe I'm trying not to condemn people, but maybe they're just too thick, or they don't understand enough even to ask the questions. And so what I find very encouraging about this particular jury is that they clearly, I thought, from these questions, which may have been very simple for an accomplished lawyer like this particular judge, and of course, you know, all the la-di-da commentators who have got their arms up and mocking and having a little snicker, because that's really what it's created. But you've got here a group of people, and some of them clearly took it sufficiently seriously, the whole task of sort of standing in judgment on another person, that they decided they wanted some
some points cleared up. Now, it may be that the points they wanted cleared up were quite basic, and I would hope that I wouldn't have had any difficulty dealing with them. But I think what it showed is that, first of all, you've got a jury taking something very, very seriously. Mm. And so that's good. And I think, actually, that if you've got the nous to ask the questions, I think it means that you're probably not thick, because you understand that they are issues that need to be dealt with. The second thing is,
I think you have to. Well, I think you really have to put into place what the sorts of questions are asking.
I haven't finished with this point, actually. I think it's also very, very serious that the judge decided to condemn them. I think it's very.
What does beyond reasonable doubt mean?
I think it's also that's very, very serious the matter that the judge comes out and condemns them. Mm. Okay,
I think that's because perfectly actually, right. if a juror,
I think Lee, we've had enough actually, because I don't think you've got much to say on this. Doubt. Mm. I think it's really quite extraordinary that this judge, who's meant to really, I think, sort of deal with a jury in a sort of sympathetic and understanding way, comes out and quite frankly mocks them and makes them a figure of abuse. And I think all that can do is damage the confidence of juries in the future, who might well want to answer other questions which may be more relevant and more difficult, and may feel worried about doing so because they see that this is what happens when the jury asks a question. Yeah, they've been pilloried by the judge. I think it was very unprofessional, the judge, very unnecessary, very damaging.
Right, and the other thing I will add... Lee, hold on a minute. Lee, no, I'm not answering that one. What I'm going to add to this is the UK is a multicultural, cosmopolitan country.
Absolutely.
Absolutely it is. And there are a lot of people that were... And a colleague of mine, the PA to my boss, she is a Slovak lady and had to go on jury duty. Now, as much as she can speak incredible and write very good English, her understanding of the legal system in the terminology used, I would not expect her to understand that. So I
no,
think
neither would I.
And I think
but
it's perfectly right.
No, because she's the basics of English.
No, she is. She was called for jury service, was accepted, and it may well be that a Slovak citizen does not understand what is meant beyond reasonable doubt.
Eric, this wasn't a Slovak citizen.
It doesn't matter. It should have been...
Excuse me, you have no idea who they were. You have no idea who, because of the secrecy of the jury, you wouldn't get to know that.
No,
I'm very sorry. I don't think you can make that kind of decision. I don't think you can make that kind of observation at all.
And the other problem I always have with juries is my opinion is the judge should be there to help and guide.
He should have been there to guide and help. And this judge has helped and guided the whole of the judicial system by saying that we don't want people who are stupid on our juries. Give them an IQ test before they come on.
But it still doesn't
work. Absolutely reasonable.
It's not, because an IQ test, if you're a Slovak and take an IQ test, it doesn't mean to say you're going to understand legal terminology in a legal court in England. Because you live and work there, you have to do your jury duty. There's nothing to do with IQ test.
Well, I don't think that just because you're from Slovakia, you're not going to pass an IQ test. I think the very simple fact is that the juries are playing with people's lives.
Correct.
And if they are of a mentality which can be swayed by a certain kind of evidence which might upset them or offend them or incense them, and they don't have the accoutrements of intelligence to actually make a decision beyond that, then it is quite right that you give people some kind of test to make sure that they are... And it's like racists. Why would you have racists on a jury?
Lee, you're just floundering here, okay? This wasn't a question of intelligence anyway. This is a question simply of understanding of certain ideas.
At all.
It has nothing to do with intelligence.
It's not intelligence.
It's to do with a certain amount of experience, and they didn't have a certain amount of experience. Very encouraging that they were prepared to ask questions. Excellent. Good for them, and I hope that juries continue to ask questions. It shows that they're taking it seriously.
Yeah, because actual fact, it means they're paying attention.
Yes.
They're not asleep. And that is the problem with...
If they're asking the basics of what the fundamental part of an English language means, that doesn't mean they're paying attention.
That means
they don't understand what people are talking about. I really wish you wouldn't patronise me, Mark.
What are you talking about?
I didn't quite get that, Lee.
They ask for a definition. I don't understand what the problem of that is in a courtroom. If you're not 100% sure, you just say... Can you just clarify that for me?
But what exactly what Mr. Justice Sweeney said is that how do you actually define any further ordinary English words? And that is the fundamental basis of this argument, not some airy-fairy idea of the free... You know, this man who's patronising me is the man who takes away the basic right of freedom of speech from people. Nice. And this is very simply talking about the ordinary English language and the fact that these people had to ask a judge to define it for them. And he quite rightly said, these people should not be making a decision on other people's lives if they have that complete lack of understanding of the basics of what we're doing.
Well, I have to say...
I'm very sorry, but in fact, I mean, you know, you say, yes, it was the ordinary English language. It is the ordinary English language, but it might not have been. It might have been a legal technical term, and they asked the question. In fact, they were told that it's not a legal technical term.
And believe me,
there are all sorts of legal technical terms which, if you simply give them the ordinary plain English everyday meaning, then they'll mean something completely different.
Well, I have to say that I've sat in courtrooms watching things going on where there's been, you know, a legal person around, and I've on more than one occasion, I wouldn't say I'm that stupid. I will say my IQ's average, normal, like everybody else's, but I have not understood the legal terminology being used in a courtroom. And I am very, very happy that a jury person has said, I don't understand. Now, if it is that you can't have them on after that point because they're thick, fine. But at least I'd rather have somebody own up and say, I don't understand, than them sitting there, go into a little room and agree with the masses, when it could be a misjustice,
but all this judge has done is throw into the public arena a thought process which says, do we want people who don't understand the fundamental basics of the English language to be on juries? He's not said that's what should happen. He's actually just come up with a thought process and an idea which actually basically sounds very good to me. Give people some sort of IQ test before they start making decisions on other people's lives.
Right. The justice...
Otherwise, give them an alibi.
Yeah. Apparently, he threw his hands in despair. That is not a bloke helping other people out.
No, it's not. It's mocking and it's diminishing people. I think it's very unhelpful.
Well, and I just hope that maybe somebody turns that round the other way and goes, excuse me, Mr. Justice Sweeney, your job is to help the jury members, not take the mickey out of them.
Yes.
We move on.
I agree with that. But anyway, carry on.
We move on. We have got 30 seconds for one quickie, and I have to say, to lighten it all up, we're going to have Thumper, who stamped his authority over burglars.
Just like the judge.
Yeah.
No more judges, I'm tired.
Yeah, exactly. No more judges, I'm tired. Oh, by the way, we haven't got time for Thumper, but he was a very good little rabbit. He was thumping his feet on the floor and frightened away a burglar. Say goodnight, Rachel.
Good night, Rachel.
Good night, Mark.
Good night, Rachel.
Rest in peace, Kevin Ayres.
Say goodbye, Lee.
I've just said it.
Have you? All right, and I'll say goodbye as well. See you soon. Bye-bye.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.